back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and trying to remember and think about just what we was talking about when we got through. Paul was warning Timothy. You got to remember he's writing this to a young man who is a pastor. It's a pastoral epistle, a letter written to Timothy, instructing him on what he can expect in ministry and how to lead God's people. And as we've seen this morning, he gave a description of people that we would be ministering to, people we'd be trying to win to Jesus that would not be what you would expect. And when he closed out this morning, that last verse we looked at, he told Timothy, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, and evil men and imposters, that's where we got that counterfeit Christianity thought came from, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So how do you keep from being deceived? What is the one most crucial thing that God has placed here? Because he doesn't want you to be deceived. He don't want you to fall for the imposter. He doesn't want the devil to be able to trick you. So what does he say? He tells him right there, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of knowing from whom you have learned them. And it's important that where you receive your learning. That's why you shouldn't just click through the smorgasbord of available Christian theology that's on the scene in America today, because there's a whole lot of it that is not biblical, that is not spiritual. And if he says right here, though, he says, knowing from whom you learned and knowing from whom you learned it. And he says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. You need to know the Scriptures well enough to know when someone's not teaching it. And it's not the preacher's job. It's your job to keep from being deceived. You got to pray to God. Give me understanding. I don't know about y'all. Everybody can make a mistake here and there. But when I see a preacher preaching and habitually having bad doctrine and teaching ungodly theology, I don't care how excited he looks and how much everyone's following him, he's off my list. And sooner or later, some people do go astray and they do be wrong. But I want you to think about this. Scripture is the thing that God gave every one of you. How many of you here have a Bible? And then you get around people who set the example. That's what he told Timothy. Look back up above here what he told Timothy in verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. That's my teaching. That's what Paul had been teaching. But listen, teaching also has to be backed up by the way you live. And look what he says right there. You carefully followed my doctrine, my teaching, that means, and my manner of life. Paul said in many places in the Bible, look at me. Imitate me because I'm imitating Christ. And Paul said, not only am I preaching the truth, but my manner of life is exemplifying the truth. There's a lot of people that may know the Bible and teach the Bible, but their life totally doesn't exemplify what they teach. It's pretty much the truth. You got to walk the walk if you're going to talk the talk, amen? If God's going to use you. Now, no one's perfect, but we do have the ability to discern and see. And we're not judges, but we are to be fruit inspectors. And when a person constantly bears bad fruit, he may have a bad attitude. He may have a lot of immorality in it. But you see, the thing of it is, we can be disqualified. Even Paul worried about that. And so he tells Timothy, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, the long-suffering, the patience he's talking about I've had, my endurance, my love and perseverance for what I'm doing, what I'm preaching. But look at the main thing he tells him right here in verse 16. He says that, verse 15, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The only thing that can give us the information, that gives us the wisdom to be saved, is the Word of God. Religion can't do it. Church, I think lots of times, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in things. One of the things that scares me as a pastor is VBS. Because I've seen it since I've been in the ministry, and I've heard it over and over and over from people. At VBS, All the kids came forward, and I just went up with them. I don't even remember what I did. Don't even know why I did it. But they baptized me. I was at what age? But I don't remember what happened. Guys, listen. If you can't remember what happened, nothing happened. And we got to understand that the Scripture has to get a person to the place that they're convicted of sin, that they realize they need to be saved and forgiven of that sin, and that Jesus is the provision of God. And that we got to be real careful. And Paul's telling him right here that from childhood, at childhood, that's the good news. You can be a child and know the truth. But guys, listen, a child that is never around the truth, we got to understand this. When they come here and the only truth they're getting is on Wednesday night, we got to be real careful. That's a big difference between a child who is in a home filled with people who are setting the example in the teachings of Scripture in their manner of life and in what they teach and what they build their life upon. These kids only get a little small taste. A child that is in a home where they eat, sleep, drink, and breathe Jesus has got a great advantage over one who has no Christ. That's not to say we can't lead them and teach them, but the Scriptures take time to bear fruit. Would you agree to that? Very seldom are you going to hear the gospel one time and say, oh yeah, that's what I need to do. So Scripture, from childhood, he said, which was able to make you wise for salvation. And I want you to see what he says Scripture does. This is why the only thing that can protect us from being deceived from the spiritual substitutes that Satan wants to give every one of us to get us away from Christ, to get us away from the real thing that is spirituality, is the Word of God. Because listen to what he says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every time we open this book, we're opening the God-breathed words of God. God breathed them into men. He inspired them by His Spirit to pen them and write them exactly the way He ordained them to be. And it's all Scripture is inspired by God. And look at what He says. It is profitable for doctrine, or it's profitable for teaching. The only thing that me or Shelby or anybody that steps in a pulpit has to say is, thus saith the Lord. The only thing, our opinions are nothing if they don't come and aren't built upon the foundation of the Word of God. Who cares what Shelby says? Amen? But when Shelby breaks open the Word of God, and he's taking it down and he's teaching it and he's breaking it down for you can receive the wisdom and the instruction that's coming from, you better listen to him. And guys, listen to what he says Scripture does. Not many people came to church this morning looking for Scripture to do this or expecting Scripture to do it. That's not what a lot of people want Scripture to do. But listen what Scripture says of itself it does. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine or teaching. For what? For reproof, for correction, for instruction. That word reproof literally means to be exposed. When you reprove something, you expose it. And that's what the Scriptures do. It reproofs you and it exposes what you are. Now, I bet there wasn't a lot of people coming to church this morning saying, God, I hope you reproof me. I hope you expose me. And then, Lord, I want you to correct me. And then, Lord, instruct me in righteousness. That ain't what Baptists want. They say, I hope the preacher gets excited and I hope it's good. I hope it makes me feel happy. And there's nothing wrong at all. But sometimes it ain't going to make you happy. As a matter of fact, a lot of times, it's going to cut you. Because the Word of God is going to reproof you. It's going to show you, if you're sitting under a man of God preaching the Word of God, you ain't going to sit in here religious. It's going to revolve. It's going to expose that. But then it's going to correct you. And how many people like to be corrected? But then it instructs you. Now listen, what is people going to do when this begins to happen? Listen to what he says. Why is God doing it? That the man of God may be complete. That means made whole, made mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it's the man of God, he's reproofing us through the Word of God. He's correcting us through the Word of God. He's instructing us in righteousness through the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, through the good doctrine that's profitable for us to hear, that the man of God may be complete. You see, God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's working out his job. His intention is to make us like him, to mature us, and also so that he can equip us for every good work. Now, This is how important it is that you be under the Word of God, preached by a man of God who is able, but and even you to take the Word of God and learn it. Because listen to what he told Timothy. And remember, he's writing to a pastor of the beginning, infant church. This is for all of us to learn how to pastor from, through this young man, Timothy, by this inspired by God, breathed into Paul, birthed by his pen, into this Bible for us to look at. And listen what he says to Timothy in verse 1 of chapter 4. I charge you, that's what I command you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, to do what? Preach the word. Now, to preach the word, you got to be willing to herd Baptists or shepherd Baptists. But our number one job and the number one thing that is the most important aspect of any church ministry is if the word of God is being preached. And listen to what he said. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Because so apparently sometimes it's going to be in season. Sometimes it's going to be out of season. What does that mean? Is preaching the Word of God ever not important? No, it's not the Word of God's not in season. It's that they're not willing to hear it. It's not what they're looking for. You know what? In the fall, we're looking for a crop. In the spring, we're looking to plant. But all of us ought to be looking for a Word from God every time we come to church, every time we open the Bible. So he says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. And listen to what he tells them to do. Convince people, rebuke people, exhort them. I don't know about y'all, but it's not an easy thing to do to stand up here and know that some of the things you're preaching is rebuking people. This morning, I imagine some people kind of felt rebuked. Some probably got reproved. But that's what the word is intended to do. Listen to what he says. He says, convince them, rebuke them, exhort them with all long-suffering. That means endurance and patience and teaching. For the time will come, this is what he's saying, the time will come, Timothy, when they will not endure sound teaching or sound doctrine. That word sound literally means healthy. Healthy doctrine. Healthy teaching. But according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Guys, it is in our DNA to want to have ourselves tickled instead of convicted. To have ourselves petted instead of rebuked. But I'm thankful that he also says the word of God exhorts. That means builds up. You know what I've come to find? God don't build you up till he tears down what don't need to be there. And when he removes what doesn't need to be there, then he puts in what should be there. But he'll never make you a man of God till he makes you not a man of the world. You'll never be filled with the holiness of his spirit till you're willing to get rid of the old man in his nature. You gotta die. You gotta surrender. You give and God gives back something much more valuable, much more precious, much more better than anything the world has to offer. How does that happen? By preaching the Word of God. Without God's Word, none of us would ever grow. None of us would ever change. Anything that happened here today that was eternal was not because of any of us. It was because of the Word of God that went forward. And it touched men's heart. It touched people's lives. That's what the Word of God does. Friends, and it is the Word of God that sets men free from the captivity of Satan's substitute spirituality. From the counterfeits that he lays out there. Anybody here better really, really take note to this. There's not a one of us here that is so spiritual we can't get deceived. That we can't fall. Satan is after us constantly. And when you get in a position where you allow your heart to justify things, and one of the things we try to justify is when we get angry or we get disappointed and we get wounded. Look back at what he was talking about right before he started, where we looked at this morning. Remember, this letter didn't have chapters when he wrote it. Timothy didn't have the luxury of saying, chapter 2, verse 4. He had to read the whole thing. It was just a written letter. Look at what he told Timothy. He said in verse 23 of chapter 2, look at what he says. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. When we allow foolish, ignorant disputes to enter into our lives, it's always going to generate strife. Where is the origin of that? The devil. He does that. How does that get fixed? Listen to what he says. In humility, Timothy, correct those who are in opposition if God perhaps will grant them repentance. Did you see that? Repentance is not something you can do anytime you want. When God is convicting you of sin, at that moment you have an opportunity to repent. You're not likely to repent if you're not even convicted. And when God's convicting you and saying, I'll help you, turn from that and turn to me, you need to turn. When you don't, you leave worse than before, because every time you reject God, you harden yourself. And you open yourself up for the devil's tricks. And listen to what the guy says right here. In humility, correct those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the what? Truth. Truth, the word of God, is always what God uses to reproof, expose us, correct us, and then instruct us in righteousness so that we can be the man or the woman he wants us to be. And then listen to what he says. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken by him to do his will. Guys, listen. The way God delivers us from the snare, that's the trap of the devil, he makes us captive. The way that we come to our senses is by the truth correcting us, reproofing us, exposing us, and then God instructing us. I don't know about you, but I've been a captive before. Have you? Satan will get you. And thank God that I've been in church before and I heard a guy preaching. I'm like, that's me today. The Holy Spirit will put his finger on you. And when he does, you'll either humble yourself and say, God, I confess, I'm convicted, help me, and you'll turn or you'll harden. It happens every day in the kingdom of God that people hear and they have to go and do what God's telling them to do. He's telling them right there that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. But know this, Timothy, that in the last days, perilous times are going to come. There's going to be a lot of men, a lot of people, who are under this captivity of Satan. And you know what's sad? That the one thing that helps you the most when Satan's got you is the one thing we'll avoid at all costs. We don't want to hear the word of God. We don't want to be around the things that God has to say. And that's the things that set us free. You know, we got to pray, that's for sure. But anyone who gets set free from the lies of the devils, because how does he ensnare us? Does he have an actual trap? Think about this. It says that Peter said he warns us that the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Now, I want to ask you something. Does Satan literally attack us and physically kill us? No. You know how he devours us? One lie at a time. Very seldom does someone who walks with God have one big fatal decision and they lose everything. It's usually God said to go here, but I sure would rather go here. God said you ought to go back over there, but you don't. You stay there and you're already two steps away, and before long something else comes along and the devil's a master at it. And he tells you another lie and he deceives you again and he moves you this way, and the whole time the Holy Spirit's saying, come home, don't go there. And before long, you're so far from God that the devil will convince you you can't come back. You're no good. You're not even where. See, with Scripture is what keeps us from being deceived. And today, we need to realize the blessing of having a Bible. You know the thing about Bibles today? We are living in the generation that has more access, more accessibility, more ease of reading the Bible than any generation probably in the history of the church. When Paul wrote this, he wasn't talking about the New Testament. He was talking about the Old Testament, and no one, hardly any one of them, possessed a copy of it. They had to go and hear the teachers teach it. Then we have the church taking off. God, through His love for His church and His wisdom in the New Testament, gives us the New Testament. And He inspires and canonizes and gives us a collection of the books of the New Testament. But even then, the church didn't have access to it. And then, once they had access to it, and each church had a copy, only the clergy, only the church itself, the laymen very seldom had access to it. But why do you think God, through the progression of Christianity, constantly was making it more and more available? You see, you have the Dark Ages, when the Catholic Church didn't want laymen to have the Bible. You know why? They wasn't doing what it said. They were controlling the masses by religion. It's called the Dark Ages. And they were doing things like selling indulgences. You pay us enough money, we'll forgive you. But a young man named Martin Luther, who we're all connected to, got to reading this book. He was a monk. He was a young priest in training. And he said, it's wrong. They can't forgive us. They can't sell indulgences. And he got to reading the book of Romans. And he got to reading about grace saves by faith. Justification by faith. We're justified by faith, not by works, through Christ. And he began to write these things that he put on, what were they called, Brother Garrett? The theses, what they called them, something else. The theses, but he had something else he called them. He put it on a castle wall, which was like a public bulletin board. It was kind of like their version of Facebook. And he put it in the town square, and he wrote it in common German where everyone could read it. And they'd go tear it down, he'd put it back up. And everyone got to hearing about it, and it had a ruckus stirred up. And out of that, eventually we had the Protestant Reformation. And Luther began to bring the Word of God to the common people in the common language, which was German. But then the Dark Ages began to be exposed, and the light of the Word began to come forth, and the church began to come back to life. And great preachers were arising out of that. And at that time, men began to realize that if we don't get an English version, and Tyndale began to write and translate the scriptures from the Latin and from the Greek and from the Hebrew into the English, and there was many men who lost their lives for it. There was people who were martyred, all because of this book. But God kept stirring hearts of men. And men kept stirring, and then we got a Bible. And guys, today the Bible is available. It's the best seller ever. No book has ever outsold the Bible. The Bible, they've been trying to get rid of it ever since God made it, and they can't. It just gets more and more of them. And you know the sad thing is? Churches today have them everywhere in their homes, and we very seldom let it be what it's supposed to be. Our foundation, the Word. God will take His Spirit, and He will take this book, and He will change your life if you open it. When we first got saved, this woman never read. She never hardly, that I know of. Now, I was a reader already, but I read Lewis L'Amour and Westerns. I used to love reading. I had these old West Time Life books I read. And I used to even read the encyclopedia. You probably wouldn't think that about me. Now, I didn't read the whole thing. I looked through it and just found things that I felt was interesting, but I would read it. So I liked to read, but she didn't like to read. But when she got saved, Jerry Lawler, who was our boss, who was a Christian, who taught Sunday school at Lindsay Lane Baptist Church, gave her an NIV Bible. It's all to pieces. And she went to reading that thing. She went to changing. She left me, and when she came back, her and that NIV came. And she'd get up every morning, and she'd make her a cup of coffee. She'd light her a cigarette, and she'd read her Bible. That's what she was doing in her house. She quit by the time she got back with me. But that Bible is all to pieces. And you know what? I'll take that Bible, and I'll look through it, and she's got all kind of notes written in it. God don't just do that with preachers' wives. He does that with any wife that'll spend time in the Word. He did it to me. My daddy's Bible is all to pieces. I still got it back there. I don't ever use it much no more because I want to be able to keep it because it was my daddy's. But that Bible changed my life, and I got stuff all written in it. Guys, no one's life will ever change by just going to church on Sunday. We got to get the Word of God into our hearts, and I'm a firm believer that the Word of God will change any life if we believe in it. You know what I believe? I believe that today is just the beginning of what God could do if we keep doing what we're doing and we keep God's love and we keep unified where His Spirit stays, because you got to have the Spirit and the Word, and you got to have people that have filled with the love of God that are products of that Word. And when the Word is conforming us into what God wants us to be, just like Paul, remember the things that you learned and whom you learned them from. Remember my doctrine. You have faithfully followed my teachings and my manner of life. And Timothy's life was changed. Paul met Timothy, remember? Timothy's daddy was a heathen. His mama was a Christian. Him and his grandma taught him about God. Paul seen a call on his life, said, come with me, brought him on his missionary journey. Timothy got called into the ministry. Paul was able to pass that ministry on to Timothy. He said, you go and teach other men who will know what you know, and they'll pass on the faith. And that's what God does. He fills us, then we fill somebody else. Every one of us has potential to influence another person, but you can't do it without the Word of God. With the Word of God, you can make sure that you can hand down the heritage onto the lineage of your grandchildren and your children. But without the Word of God, all we really can show them is our religion. And boy, when the Word of God becomes the foundation of what we do, what a difference it makes. Amen? I don't know about you, but I can't imagine a week without the Word of God. And I know, well, he's a preacher, but I was reading it before I become a preacher. No, if some of us wouldn't get in the Word more, you might become something you didn't know you would be. Brother Richard cracks me up. He said, since you come here, man, I'm reading so much I can't believe it. He cracks me up. He reads stuff I don't even want to read. And you know what? Anybody who has something to say worth hearing in front of God's people has to be a reader and a studier of the Word. That's where it all comes from. And as we absorb it, it comes out of us. I just felt like I wanted to share this today because I want you to understand something. None of us is the source of what produces the things that God wants to happen. It all comes from His Holy Spirit and through His Word, but we have to let it come through us. And so get in the Word. Study the Word. Let the Word get in you and watch what will happen. When we get saved at that moment, God puts His Spirit in us. And the only way you can get saved is to have the understanding and the wisdom of the gospel to know that that's what God done for you. And from there, you now have the Holy Spirit to teach you and to help you and to read it and to study it and to even listen and apply it to our lives. And as we apply it to our lives, it changes us. That's what it's here for. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is good for doctrine and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God can become complete and be equipped for every good work. Guys, that right there tells you everything God wants to do in every life in this room if you're saved. He wants to expose us, reproof us, show us where we are, correct us, turn us toward Him. That's repentance. It's going to involve conviction. But then guess what He's going to do? He's going to build us up. He's going to instruct us. He's going to guide us. And He's going to say, follow me. I'll show you where to go. Jesus, that's how you follow. And I don't know about you, it's a life-changing experience, amen? Whoever thinks the Word of God is boring, that's because they don't do what it says. If you do what it says, it ain't boring. It's challenging. It's fulfilling. It's satisfying. It's life-changing. And you know what? When your life is being affected by it, ain't that a blessing? Isn't that awesome? It's a great thing. Well, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight that we can come and have a place where your Spirit moves and works, where the Word of God can be preached, where people are in a place that they want to hear it. I thank you for freedom in the pulpit to share. It's not like that everywhere. And I pray that we'll always have freedom, that there'll always be an opportunity here, that in the presence of the Holy Spirit, there's freedom, and that we'll be able to hear and to grow and to be able to let the Word of God instruct us and correct us and reproof us so that we can be the people we need to be. Lord, thank you again for the truth of the Word. I thank you this morning, Lord. I know, but I get discouraged. But if we keep preaching, we keep preaching. That's what we got to do. If we ever quit preaching, it's over. But if we keep preaching, sooner or later, people's lives are affected. So help us to remember that, Father. Help us to continue to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have our business meeting right quick. And so if you're a guest, you could leave if you want.